Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today, this beautiful Friday. Happy Friday. And man, this is a time for celebration. Yes, it is. Especially if you are a nurse, a teacher, a mom, and a military spouse. Now, if you are all that, you are all that for real. So, Happy Military Spouses Appreciation Day. That's what we're celebrating today. There's a lot of, specials out there in the stores, and there's a lot of events going on to honor those who support the people that support our country. It's a different type of lifestyle, for sure. And Kathy Booker is here to talk to us about it because she deals with military families. Kathy, are you there? Good morning. Oh, Kathy's not there yet. Okay, that's fine because we want to make sure that we get her on because she does deal with a lot of those families out there because there's a lot to handle. It's like I said, it's not your typical thing. If you, by the way, are a military spouse or have been a military spouse, you're a retired military spouse or former military spouse, join the conversation. We want to know what your life is like because some of us can't really relate to what you have to juggle in terms of just turning over your life to that one person and saying, I'll go where you go when you have to go. You know, your life is almost not your own. So we want to hear from you if you are a military spouse, a retired military spouse, or former military spouse, to let us know what that life is like. So the number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. I know I've have a few people in my family that have been in the military and are either no longer active or retired. My husband was in the military prior to us getting together, so I don't have a platform from which to speak on that. But I know that a lot of it has to do with these families picking up and almost leaving at a moment's notice or allowing their spouse to go at a moment's notice while they take care of whatever's going on back at home or wherever they are situated. Because a lot of times it's not, and I did take, for example, I have a certification for our military certification for the Realtor Association, and there was a lot for us to learn, and I keep saying I just got to go back and do some refresher courses because it deals with having to let, you know, to be the person that's kind of holding the bag and organizing everything while the government tells your husband or wife, you know, you've got to go where we say go, when we say go, how we say go. And it just may not be that much time, not that much notice. And they're off and running. And they, you know, and you've got to, if you own a home, you have to either sell the home, figure out how to rent the home, and, so, you know, or if you're going to stay there and manage the home, it, depending on how much that military person in your life was involved in the decision-making of the house, you have to, sometimes the roles have to change. or the burden is on that person who is not the active enlistee in the military. And so it's about home, it's about school and helping kids adjust. And we've given a lot of these kids the unfortunate title of being a military brat. That is not the case. In a lot of these cases, they've had their lives uprooted. They've had to go from school to school, neighborhood to neighborhood. Long-term friendships are difficult to cultivate and keep for the kids and the spouses. That's why the support of these families, the support of these spouses are so important. So we have to thank them for their service, because it is service. So we've got, there are several sites out there that have information. We are going to be sharing these with you on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. But in the meantime, what I'd like to do is go ahead and take a quick break and check in with Kathy, see if she's going to be with us, because, like I said, she has a perspective having dealt with military spouses. So I want to go in and check in on her. And like I said, if you have information that you want to share that we should know, because, like I said, there's no way for us, it's just as regular civilians, to know what the day in the life of a military spouse is, give us a call, 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Spreading the word of the Lord through music ministry on Gospel 107. We're live on NHISG 101.1 every Sunday. Gospel music from legends Lee Williams, Rance Allen, and Shirley Caesar. Join us for Sunday service delivered by Pastor Regina Johnson, Pastor Russell Moore, and Pastor Johnny Ray Noble. Bible study with Pastor Aaron B. Williams. And Christian Talk Radio with Pastor Renetta Watson, Pastor Annie Sally, Pastor Warren Sally, and Benita Coney. Gospel 107, every Sunday on Never Had It So Good 101.1.
It's the sweetest name.
Good morning, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking about Military Spouses Appreciation Day today. It's a time that we say thank you for juggling, I guess, in a different perspective, in a very serious perspective, the life of being a spouse and, in some ways being primary physical caretaker while that military person is off serving our country. So we're going to have a licensed mental health counselor, Kathy Booker, on with us to give us some insight, because she deals with a lot of these families, and wanted to talk about that a little bit. There are a lot of there are benefits out there for military families. There is a website called military.com where you can get information if you're someone that's seeking information or trying to figure out what these families go through, what's available to them, and how you can help them. They said to receive any military benefits, military families must first be registered in the military's personnel system, the Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System, and then they get a military ID card. You have to be the service member's spouse or child. There are some exceptions where there other family members can receive ID cards in various circumstances. So The service member receives the base pay, and then they receive a variety of allowances. For most married service members, the allowances include basic allowance for subsistence, it says. I think that's supposed to be subsistence, but it's subsistence. Thank you. I knew I'd get it right eventually. Basic allowance for subsistence and basic allowance for housing. Those are the benefits that include the spouses. Military spouse and family health care is another area. Active duty military families, regardless of which branch, according to military.com, service, their spouse serves and receives benefits through the military's health care, which is called TRICARE. TRICARE is technically not an insurance company, but it operates a little bit like one, helping military families receive health care and pay medical bills. There's a couple of different types of TRICARE that active duty families and medically retired families and families of active guardsmen and reservists can use. According to this, there's TRICARE Select and TRICARE Prime, and they have a link in this website, military.com, where you can go and find out what the differences are and what you qualify for. So military basic allowance for housing is BAH. And it's given to every active duty service member as part of their biweekly pay. So it's supposed to cover 97% of the housing costs minus renter's insurance. Because like I was saying, if you decide to purchase a house and let's say, you know, you're stationed somewhere for 2 years and then you have to go, you have to decide, A, do I sell the house? B, do I stay in the house and B, and have this long distance relationship? Or C, and you kind of want to, you know, hope that you can hold on to the house. So maybe you decide to rent it out. So that's part of what they're talking about in terms of the renter's insurance. So that's part of what is available to military spouses. Military shopping benefits, according to this on military.com, known as non-monetary compensation, the shopping benefits help military families save money on things they want and need. Usually there is a commissary, defense commissary agency, is the organization that operates that. Commissaries often help military families save money on groceries. The stores are required by law to sell them at cost. So if you are fortunate enough as a military family, military spouse, to have a commissary nearby, that helps to save and helps to budget. Because a lot of your expenses are less if you purchase through the commissary. A lot of times they don't have that many commissaries around. Most of them are closest to the base. I know here in Orlando, I think there might be one that's out near the airport. And if anybody knows for sure and wants to correct me, let me know. But I think there's out one near the airport where the Air Force Base used to be. Most of the bases have a department store called an exchange, and they also have gas stations and liquor stores and fast food on a lot of these bases. On Army and Air Force bases, according to this, all of those places are run by the Army and Air Force Exchange Services, or AAFES. Marine Corps bases, they are run by the Military Corps Exchange, MEX, and on Navy bases, they're run by the Navy Exchange, MEX. Mm-hmm. And all of these companies operate independently of the military, but use a percentage of the revenue to fund other military family programs. So, there's the convenience of having these facilities on or near the base, and at the same time having that money kind of go back in to assist the military families. So there's also child care on the bases. Most of the military have a variety of full-time or hourly daycare centers, and the cost base are they vary based on the family's income. There are sometimes, according to this long waiting list, so the military allows the families to use like subsidized in-home daycare that have been officially approved. So if you don't live near a base or there's no on-base daycare center spots available, the military will also subsidize the cost of care at certain off-base civilian daycares that have become a part of their network. So it's, you know, a lot of times before, there's a lot of these things that you kind of have to scope out as a military spouse in advance, you know, once the person is assigned, before you move the whole family out over there, you kind of almost have to, in a lot of cases, pay a visit ahead of time to see where these facilities are, where the gas station is, where the banking institutions are, where the daycares are, where the school, you know, where the school is going to be, all of that. So that's just a trip just to investigate where these things are. Anyway, let's see. There are some what they call military welfare and recreation benefits. The program is called MWR, funds and manages on base, and they say according to this, they are much more affordable than off-base counterparts because the government subsidizes their costs. I have seen, for example, I guess like a bowling alley or something on the base. So there's a lot of activities and recreational places on the base. They have gyms, pools, like I said, bowling alleys, horse stables, event centers, golf courses, and in some cases discounted equipment rentals and all that type of stuff. Also some youth programs, some programs like dance classes, sports teams and clubs, so according to this site. So services are specific to each base, so you kind of need to check out whatever, you know, if you, military spouses usually have to go and check out these things, like I said, ahead of time to see what is available to them. MWR, according to military.com here, operates several resorts and vacation destinations around the world. So the places they list here are places like Virginia Beach, Virginia, Fort Walton Beach, Florida, Pacific Beach, Washington. So you have to contact your MWR office to find out where these places are. So anyway, like I said, if you have been a military spouse, are a military spouse, and want to talk about your experience, give us a call on G's Power Hour. The number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. My mom was a military spouse during part of World War II. They got married. My dad ended up going off toward the end of World War II to the Philippines. They ended up relocating to California because they're both originally from Florida. Because when he got out, he decided that the best place for him to get, a job at, based on his experience and everything, was out there. So, she stayed here for the time in Florida. She stayed with his mom. During the time that he was in the military, and then when he got out, they relocated and moved to California, and he got a variety of work experience. They stayed out there for about 18 years before they came back home. My father did end up going into the Department of Defense for a while, too, while he was in Florida before retiring. So, and that being in a civilian military, a civilian military employee, and spouse is somewhat similar because he had to go different places, sometimes just short term, like a few weeks. But they at one point in time ended up moving over to Largo, Florida, while he finished out his work with the Department of Defense before retiring and moving back home here in Orlando. So a lot to consider when you make these choices for signing up for the military, you know, and when you're selecting a spouse and when you're deciding to be the spouse of a military enlistee, you know, how your life is going to be, because there's a lot of things involved with that. If you are not, and I'm assuming most military families are, but if you're not, there is a free military.com membership to get the latest news on the benefits here. So, because there's a lot to keep track of, but we want to make sure that you have it. So I'm going to, of course, share this on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, because I want you to have that. So, but in the meantime, we are going to take a quick break. The number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good morning, Kathy Booker. How are you?
Good morning, Gretchen. How are you?
I'm okay. Welcome back, you all, to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am here with licensed mental health counselor Kathy Booker. And Kathy deals with a lot of military families in her career. And talk a little bit about... when you see someone that's in a military family, especially the spouse, what are they usually coming to you for?
Okay, the program, I'm a contract mental health, licensed mental health counselor, contractor with Centene, and it's with the mental health component of their team, but they have a contract with the military to provide brief non-medical solution-focused therapy. And we don't call it therapy, but they call it problem-solving.
Okay.
And they do that because so many people may be having some issues, and so they need a professional mental health person to talk to, just to get some of the stuff out, and they get 12 free sessions. But they have an opportunity to talk about some of the, you know, just regular everyday type of things that they go through, not only just individually as a military family and also having children that are in the military, because they have to move a lot, you know, with the military. If they, you know, they've decided to be a career family, then that means that they may be moving every 3 years to a different base or even overseas. So that becomes a lot, because the mission for every branch of the service is to be mission ready at all times, mm-hmm. 24 hours a day. And I think a lot of times when people, you know, initially get married, it's just the same adjustment that you would have in any marriage that first year. You can just think, if you got married like in June, and then, you know, your husband, wife may have gotten orders to leave going on an assignment in August. And so it may be that that person is going to a base that is not available for families to be there. So they would have to be on a base that is the base that maybe that person is being deployed from.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes with a lot of separation. Spouses have to learn to be married but live as if they are a single married person. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what actually yeah. happens, you know.
Yeah.
And so when the soldier comes back, there may be a period of adjustment just for that person. And a lot of times when particularly, I think you experience it more when you're younger. You expect that person to be the same person that they were since the day you got married. And we as human beings experience things that have been very different than it has ever been in the neighborhood we ever grew up in. When you go into the military, it's the whole culture by itself. It's an mm-hmm. honorable time, not only for the soldier, but for the families who sacrificed so much for our country. So all of the things that I heard you talk about are all things that they attempt to do to make the families be able to still function, whether the soldier is there or not, and mm-hmm. also to give some assurance to the soldier that, you know, we got you. You know, that kind of feeling. So that's one of the, you know, difficult thing is just getting adjusted initially to the military culture because it in some ways it can mimic a 9-to-5 because it's according to what your MOS is. But if mm-hmm. you are a combat or need to be away because of the type of secure, I want to say it correctly. Your ability is a secure, ready kind of ability where you have to do certain things that, you know, really nobody is not supposed to know.
Yeah.
That then you're, you know, you go in. Or your job may be just to go in and set up everything for the unit, battalion, you know, to come in and get set up. So you got medical personnel is so much larger of a effort than people really realize, particularly mm-hmm. when you go overseas and there may not be bases already set up. So a lot of times when you see the maneuvers that they do, sometimes they'll get in preparation, they'll have to go down what they call downrange and do exercises, and so during that time, you know, it could be a week or two, they're preparing. So that kind of builds up to the point where that person may have to actually be gone for a year, and they come back probably, you know, sometimes it's only 2 weeks, and then they have to go back. So the way that families contact and keep in contact with one another is much different than it was back 30, 40 years ago because mm-hmm. of cell phones and because of the internet. But you can also, what we also have to get families to realize, you can't get on the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter and go, mm-hmm. you know, my son just deployed or my daughter just deployed. And giving them where they are, particularly if it's in a place where there's a high incident of combat. So just getting people to understand that social media is not the proper place to talk about military announcements. If the military has something to say to the media, they will do that. And sometimes that can be a conflict for the spouses because mm-hmm. the spouses kind of know that. But then, you know, you see the in-laws putting that you know, we just went to a yellow flower, you know, yellow ribbon ceremony, and my child is going, you know, my son or daughter is going, and, you know, it, you have to, you know, the spouse then is put in a position of having to talk to those in-laws and say, hey, did you know? So it's a wonderful thing to do is in terms of being a licensed mental health counselor person, because you kind of help people to reestablish boundaries in their relationships and understand the importance of those boundaries, as well as getting them to come to a place of acceptance that the separation is temporary, and that when you come back, that person may not, you know, be the same person that left, because they're still on the mission ready, because a lot of times when they go into deployment, they may have to be up 24 hours a day for a period of time, or they may have to be ready at all times. So even if I'm asleep, I'm in the mode that if I hear a certain sound or if I hear a certain movement, I'm up.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times spouses don't understand that, because they're going, you know, they want you just to be who you were before you left. And then time, you know, they have that adjustment period. It's time for them to go back.
So let me ask you this, Kathy. So do you find that the strain is worse on, let's say, someone who has been married for quite a while before the military comes into their lives, or, you know, let's say versus someone who meets someone that's already in the military and they get married, and then so that that type of lifestyle is kind of already under consideration, and you kind of go in with your eyes open, so to speak.
Two different kind of adjustments.
Okay.
And it can impact the family differently, because if I was already in the military and I marry a civilian, there's a lot of times civilians don't understand the true scope of the military. They have a lot of assumptions about the military, but they don't really know about the military, you know, and, you know, even if you are dating them, you know, a person that's in the military, they may not, they cannot do full disclosure to you about exactly, you know, whatever goes on. In fact, a lot of times when that happens, just talking about regular everyday things, that's what they may, you know, focus on. And so when that person does join that person in the military and there is a deployment, there may be some tension because I didn't sign up for this. It's like, well, you knew they were in the military and you know that they have been in the military, you know, and they've made a career out of it. And the response is, well, I didn't know it would be like this because I was already alone and now I'm alone again. You know, so
yeah,
that can be one adjustment. The other adjustment that you talked about, you know, is that we all, as people in love, think we talk about everything. And unfortunately, we don't talk about everything. And if you think about a military person who can't talk about everything, it can almost feel like, well, you're keeping things from me. No, I'm not keeping things from you. There's going to be privileged information that I cannot share. I don't care who it is. And so that can be an adjustment to know that I don't have all of the information, or, I, you know, because when you're in love, you think you're supposed to talk about everything. However, you know, there's privileged information, and that person may not be able to talk about everything. You know, well, tell me about your job. Well, what do you do? And who's on your job with you? And how many people? Well, they can't give that information out.
Yeah, it's like,
so
how was your day?
That,
fine.
Exactly, exactly. You know? And when you can,
what'd you do? Nothing?
You know, well, we just had to, you know, we had some job to do. But, you know, but so you can imagine that person having to come home and they have a limitation on how much they can talk about. And if I'm a spouse that's kind of having some kind of, I see that there's something bothering them, and I know that prior to us getting in the military, we were able to talk about everything, and I know that look, so I'm trying to talk to them about it, but they're going, I can't talk about it. You know, well, can you just kind of, you know, sort of be general? No, I cannot talk about it at all. And I think that makes it very difficult for a person who thinks that they have a full disclosure relationship to now having limited information about a significant part of their day and their life. So, you know, I think with, when it's two persons going in the military, you may see a more.
I would think if you have two people going in the military that are married to each other, then there's more of an understanding, you know,
exactly.
when you say, I can't
exactly.
talk about it. Like, okay, gotcha, you know. So to me, it seemed like it would be a little easier.
It's easier because now I understand that there may be something going on, and they may not fully talk to me about that. And I know that I don't need them to necessarily talk to me about all of it. So they begin to get an understanding of just, let's talk about, you know, if what the stress is. You know, how you can deal with the stress. Do we need to go out for a walk? Do we need to go see a movie? Do we just need to have playtime? You know, do something to relieve the stress. And they have to be very perceptive of each other in order to say, hey, you know, let's just go out and do something, you know, have a barbecue or take a walk. Do something that is not necessarily military base foundation. You know, let's just do things that normal, you know, civilian couples do. You know, not normal, I'm sorry. Because that's a lot. People have no idea of the lifestyle of the military, the sacrifice of the military. Feeling, you know, you're trying to locate that feeling when you don't know where the person that you love, and then to have to explain that to your kids, and, you know, keeping, you know, they, one of the things on deployment, they always say, set up a communication plan, so that then not only, you know, because there are some assignments that are six hours ahead of the time in the United States. Some of them are 6 hours behind. So you have to, you know, balance that so that your kids can talk to them. You know, you have to sometimes have middle of the night conversations. You have to make sure you set times. And then sometimes if there's a lot going on for that unit at that time, they may miss their open window to call. So it's better in a lot of ways because of some of the things that you were talking about before, you know, I came on. Those things ease the impact of the military situation. The one thing, they don't watch the news like, you know, the average American would watch the news because there may be information on there that they don't need to see.
Oh,
so a lot
okay.
of times they don't, you know, even telling their kids, you know, well, we're not going to watch the news because there may be information on the news that can be disturbing. And even though that soldier may not even be nowhere in that area, now it becomes reality that something can be a difficult challenge for me to deal with, because particularly those who have what they call, they go on silence, and they can't call, talk to nobody, period, for a period of time. And so that can be very tenuous for a military family to even deal with. You know, I think this morning on Good Morning America, they had a spouse who had a baby while the father was deployed. And they had, you know, this is their first baby. And you can imagine how challenging that can be. But one of the things that was great is she had a lot of family support during that time. And then they began to do things for the baby to recognize the dad's voice and his, you know, picture of his face, which was fantastic, you know. So you can think that if you know, this is the first time you've been separated from one another, and now, you know, you have a baby. We as the average everyday American don't even know what that's like, you know, to have the person that, you know, you're used to seeing every day, every night, now not there, and not there during a very happy time for both of you. And, you know, the spouse has to kind of do that on their own. Even though they may have family support, it's not the same as having, you know, your husband there.
Yeah.
And with men who have, that are also, you know, they could be non-military, that are spouses of women who have, they have to kind of carry things on with themselves. You know, you can imagine now, you know, I'm the only parent in the household. And, you know, they're doing their jobs, and so they have to fill in some of those things. And I think what I find with women is they make sure they plot out everything that goes on almost on a daily basis so the male spouse can know how to handle, you know, who the doctors are, the teachers, you know, what meetings you need to go to, what to follow up with. I mean, can you imagine having a daughter who's a teenager who has her first menstrual period, and you're the father? So those are the kind of things that are different and challenging for particularly male spouses who have to take the helm while the female military spouse is away.
I kept thinking and rolling them around in my mind. It's very interesting what you were talking about in terms of not watching the news. I was going back, and the reason I was going back to that is that I have a cousin that I'm very close to, and the ironic thing is I was a TV news producer, so I was looking at everything that was coming in, you know, and trying to figure out, you know, what goes on in the news, and then I would would ask him about certain things. I'm like, oh, I don't know anything about that. And he's like, I don't watch the news. And I'm like, you don't watch the news? Did not know, didn't realize this was a component of his life. And that's, and it, you know, probably just became habit for him. And so, you know, when he got out of the military, he still wasn't watching the news, you know. That was interesting to me when you said that, because I said, you know, it rang, you know, to me like, oh, ding, ding, ding. Now I get it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We are here celebrating our military spouses, trying to get an understanding of what their life is like, and saying thank you for supporting the people that support our country. Here with licensed mental health counselor Kathy Booker, who deals with a lot of military families and has a perspective on you know, how they cope. And I thank you for kind of sharing that with us. We're going to take a break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs.
owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful Friday, celebrating, oh goodness, who aren't we celebrating this week? We're celebrating and continuing to celebrate through the weekend. Nurses, teachers, moms, and today, military spouses. This is Military Spouses Appreciation Day. I'm here with licensed mental health counselor, Kathy Booker. So, Kathy, the person who is the spouse is kind of the glue in you know, the cog, I guess, in the wheel, per se, you know, trying to mm-hmm. you know, make sure the children are okay, make sure that
right.
the extended family members handle the situation, you know, because and I'm sure in a lot of cases the military spouse gets blamed for a lot of stuff that's not their fault, you know, because there's only so much that they can talk about and get people to try to understand. Yeah.
Well, I don't think that happens that often. I mean, you know, unless it's some significant incident or event that happens.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of understanding between the both spouses. I think the biggest adjustment is when dad comes home, dad is still dad.
Yes.
And so he
yeah.
has to, the military spouse has to relinquish the management of certain things back into their hands. And sometimes that not, you know, it's like it's not intentional. I think that it happens, but out of habit, because we're, as human beings, are creatures of habit, we just start doing things and forget, oh, that person is home now. So, you know, one of the things that I think that helps is that they sit down and do an update of all of the updates that they've done while they were away.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're only home for a temporary time, you know, let's say they're only on a 2-week R&R, then,
mm-hmm.
you know, being able to sit and have that information and update them, particularly if there's some things that went on with the kids, if, you know, there
right.
was some, whether there was health issues that came up, just having those first, you know, once they kind of get acclimated to being back home, is to have that first conversation of, this is what happened while you were gone,
mm-hmm.
or these are the things that are needing to be addressed, you know, let's talk about while you're here, how much do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that works when they can sit down and have those conversations, because, you know, I'm sure the first probably 72 hours, you know, it's like, you know, so happy and doing things and going about doing things, you know, the way it was, you know, sometimes they fall right, you know, in, you know, I'll take the kids to school today, or I'll, you know, what, you know, whatever needs to be done. But I think when that conversation is had,
mm-hmm.
It makes the transitions a lot less, you know, arduous or challenging, because now, you know, I'm relinquishing the things that you know, you would like to do while you're here, so that then that soldier thinks that they still have, you know, value in the family. Because the family has been a working machine while they were gone. You know, everybody's been, you know, kind of doing what they do.
Yeah, cause that's got to be difficult, because it's you're an observer in your own life, I guess, when you come home.
Exactly.
You know, because you're just watching everybody do what they normally do. And you've got this other person that's in charge in a different way, you know, because they've had to be, you know, they've had to make sure that the bills got paid and the kids got to the doctor and then to school and to, you know, after school events and you know, to, you know, jobs, part-time jobs and all that type of stuff and play dates, you know. So there's a routine that I'm sure that person, when they come home, has to try to figure out, where do I fit in, you know.
Exactly.
And, yeah, and it's up to that military spouse to make sure that there is a place for that enlistee when that person comes home from whatever time that they're home, so they don't feel like a stranger in their own home. Because I'm sure there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Wow. And you can think, if you have different age kids that are like school age to teenagers, then the soldier has to reestablish their relationship with that child while they're there. And, you know, it seems like time I get accustomed to dad or mom being home, they have to leave again. So you may have some symptomatic behaviors, you know, like, you know, kids may get sick or they may cry, or, you know, teenagers start isolating themselves because they don't want to see the parent leave again.
Right.
And some kids, you know, they just accept it as, well, this has been this way all of my life, so I'm kind of used to it.
Wow. And that is something when you've had a life, let's say, you know, you're a lifetime spouse or a lifetime family of active military person, and then that person's done with the military. That's a whole different adjustment that's what, 20 years maybe of a certain way, you know, and you're having to reestablish or even establish a relationship from, you know, being brand new almost.
And just think about the spouse who has a career, who has developed a career during the time that spouse has been away. And during retirement, there may need to be a big change in terms of living and, you know, deciding where we're going to actually live. And so all of that plays into fact, you know, you got kids getting ready to go to college. It's a big change when you have a career service person retiring and making sure they can make all of the, you know, right moves so that it's the best overall for the whole family. And the military does a lot to support that effort. And it's like anything else, you know, things sometimes don't work out as well as you want to, but I think once people have been in career service, they kind of expect that things may not fall in place exactly the way they want it. And so they prepare for the event that if this doesn't work out, this is how we have to maneuver that particular problem. So you find people who are very efficient in following up and doing what they, you know that's going to work for them. And then sometimes you do have the anxiety of what it's going to look like, that we're now going to be in each other's face every day. You know, it's similar to the truckers that you have here on the highways, that they've been on the, you know, on the highways for the past 30 years, and now they're home every day.
Right.
So that, you know, it's similar to that adjustment as well.
Right. Yeah, being in, you know, all of a sudden being in one place, you know, period,
mm-hmm.
you know. You kind of developed that type of roaming spirit, I guess you could say. You know,
mm-hmm. I tell you, one of the things that you see that is just phenomenal is that military families adopt each other as surrogate families. And once they
right.
become family, they are family for a lifetime. And some
That's
of them
important.
Have even said, you know, I feel that my military family is more of a family to me than my own biological and in-law family.
Right.
And that's because they've sometimes you get families who move to the same base, you know, maybe they know, maybe they didn't know. But when they do know, they, you know, they have that support for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real interesting as a dynamic to see how
yeah.
supportive the military personnel are of each other. I mean, from the lieutenant colonels to the generals all the way down, you know, they promote that we are here for each other, to support one another, you
mm-hmm.
know, and they try to make sure that whatever, you know, is needed, that it can, you know, if it can happen, they'll make it happen. And that's pretty good when you hear that from your leadership, that, you know, we're here to make it the best that we can for you. Because retention, they want to make sure people stay in, because it's a totally volunteer military service now. It's not like, you know, you graduate one day and, you know, you get your Uncle Sam letter.
Yep.
You know,
no.
Please
not
report
anymore.
To your nearest, you know. So it's
yeah.
much different now. And that in itself has made it a difference in terms of how our military personnel are staffed throughout the country and throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. We have a few minutes. What, in your opinion, makes for a successful transition versus an unsuccessful transition?
Always preparing and for all the possibilities that can happen, and always be prepared for if things don't fall in place. When it does, when you go in there with a flexible mindset that we're going to, whatever needs to be done, we're going to make sure we do the best that we can prepare for it prior to getting there. But if it doesn't work out, which a lot of times it doesn't,
mm-hmm.
They can be, if you can, as flexible as you can be, it makes a difference. And that's what I found that makes a difference for that success. Usually when people aren't very flexible and their expectations seem to have changed about, you know, the fact that, you know, this is the military.
mm-hmm.
And you can always expect that you may have to do something different than what you plan to do. And I think once people lose sight of that, that's what makes the transition unsuccessful. Because you have to not only prepare yourself, you got to prepare your children. You have to make sure that where you're going to be able to have the type of schools that your children will need. Sometimes you can't stay on a military base, and you do have to stay in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it, you know, the transition a little bit different, because now I have to know what's going on in the schools. You know, how do I access services when I'm not on the base, you know, like you were talking about the grocery stores and the shopping centers and all of the other kind of perks that have on base. Now I got to figure out where the closest base is, which may be an hour and a half away from me. So like in Orlando, the closest base to us is Jacksonville or Tampa. So both
yeah.
of those about yeah. hour and a half.
Tampa's
hour and
closer.
A half
away. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, wow. Kathy Booker, thanks so much for helping us get a little more insight.
So that
we know how to support our military families and the spouses, you know. So anyway,
yeah.
Have a blessed day, Kathy. Have a blessed weekend.
Thank you.
And,
you too.
And all of you have a blessed weekend. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had a so good entertainment. Have a blessed weekend. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Up your mouth.